subject, czy bez zaskoki, bez woli, bez czynie i wreszcie.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Fundamentalists Podcast. My name is Elliot Morgan, and I am here with my podcasting partner, Peter Rollins. This is a podcast where we mix together philosophy and comedy, sometimes, and anecdotes and chats and friendship and drinking and heady things that I don't entirely understand. And so today we are kind of like semi just reuniting because we haven't been hanging out for a while because we've both been traveling, but Pete way more so than I have been. He did a festival. He did his Wake Festival. He's been shooting his short film, getting that edited. And then you're about to leave tomorrow for more dates. Then you're back on Monday.
Yep.
Then we go to Vegas.
Then we go to Vegas.
Okay, great.
Then we do Vegas.
Dude, it's in my, I gotta go. And so today, we are going to dive into the subject of what's called the beautiful soul.
Uh-huh.
And in, before that, though, we are drinking some drinks that a buddy of mine got me. I'm drinking something called Eagle Rare.
Yeah.
I think is what my whiskey is called. And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Monkey 47, which is my favorite gin.
Oh, is
it? Pretty much my favorite, yeah. It's in my top five.
Okay, and yes. He didn't know that.
Did he not? Oh,
no.
That was a good choice, because I was like, you know, that's one of my top gins.
Okay, yeah. He said when he got it that he asked the guy.
Yeah, no, it's a really good one. It's a German gin.
Cool bottle too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what are we talking about, Pete?
Wow, well, first of all, I'm so excited to be back, man.
Right, man. I'm so happy that you're back.
It's so good to be back.
I was driving back from Phoenix with the Valley Folk kids, and I was in the van. It was like dead silent, and I was like, I'm excited to see Pete tonight. And like everybody's like, oh, that's really sweet. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I couldn't believe as soon as I got back you were in Portland doing a gig. How did that go, by the way?
Phoenix.
I keep saying
you say Portland
because I think Portland because I'm going to Portland.
You're going to Portland, yeah.
You were to Phoenix.
Very different than Portland.
All right.
Phoenix is fine. It's a lovely city. The crowd was amazing. Sold out show. Great time. Did some stand up. Got my fix there. And yeah, man, it's really exciting,
yeah.
Dude. We haven't talked about it, but I'm freaking out today because when I got back that night, I went into the tech rehearsal for my special, or my hour, whatever word you want to use. And today, I went and got the wardrobe for it. And I'm freaking out because it's I shoot it in 7 days.
That's
so
amazing.
Or I'm sorry, 8 days. Yeah. So I'm terrified and very excited. And for those listening, the title is Holy Shit. And it's got a lot of religious stuff in it and a lot of personal stuff. And I'm really excited, but I am like that combined with other things in life are just making things very stressful right now.
It's a weird irony, by the way. I'm on tour with a show called Holy Shift,
mm-hmm.
and you're about to do a special called Holy Shit.
Dude, yeah. I stole it from Rob Bell.
Yeah.
I stole my... No, I did. The original title, though, was inspired by Rob. I did... I originally wrote it as a one-man show called Felix Culpa, which was a term I heard from Rob Bell in a talk that he did with Pete Holmes. And Felix Culpa is like this Latin term for happy fall. And it's about the sin of man being viewed as a good thing because it brought about the redemption. And I loved that term. But as I continued to workshop the hour, people were like, no one knows what the hell that means. And I was like, yeah, I think that's cool. And then they were like, yeah, maybe name it something else. And so Holy Shit became what it was.
Yeah.
What it's called.
Does that not screw you up in terms of like where it can be shown and stuff? Like, because we've got a friend, Daniel Bedingfield. He made a video that was brilliant, but it had nudity in it, so loads of people couldn't watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, because it got age-restricted on YouTube.
Yeah, it got age-restricted on YouTube. Really screwed it, because such a good song, amazing video that he did himself. And it looks really cool. But so is the same not with like Holy Shit?
Yeah, I mean, if they needed me to change it, I'm a sellout. I would change.
Oh,
it
you'd sell it in a heartbeat.
Oh, at the moment they're like,
I will change anything that you want.
Yeah,
in the show.
If at any point somebody was about to buy it and they were like the title, I would just cut them off and I'd be like, whatever you want it to.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of drafts. One's like second
Elliot
hour.
Morgan. We don't really like the name, so I can change it. I can change
the jokes. The way your face looks. It looks like your neck threw up a face. Is what my buddy Joe said. Anyway,
yes. Anyway, sorry, we haven't even got to a subject.
Let's barrel through the subject and let's talk more just briefly.
Yeah.
So we can maintain our structure. Let's talk about beautiful soul, and then let's talk just briefly about other crap for a second.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll say a few things. Was talking about this with a friend the other day. Thought it would be a good topic for us. Basically, I want to start with the idea that, you know, we often think that we have kind of singular desires and singular beliefs. Like, I know what I want, I know what I think. But actually, we're more like a committee. We're more like the Valley folk, maybe all you guys together. And somebody comes in to you and say, you know, what do you think about politics? What do you think about the meaning of life?
What color should the mountains be on our logo?
Yes.
Was the most recent one.
Oh, is that right?
And I was like, whichever, I don't care. I don't care, but yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. So somebody comes ask, then you all disagree and you all argue. Eventually you have to go, well, we have to give an answer. So you kick Steve out into the group, and he says, we rightfully pass as an atheist, or we rightfully pass as Democrats, or
yeah.
But actually there's still little elements of the group that aren't that. And that's kind of what we're all like, is that we have desires, but we have like counter desires in us. So we might want to work really hard and achieve something, but there might also be a part of us that wants to rebel against that upbringing and just, you know, get high and reject this work culture. And you actually have the two desires in you. They're both bubbling within.
Pete, have you ever considered making yourself a job where you can do both of those things? Because that's what I'm nailing to a T right now.
Yeah, that's probably, like, I think that's probably a reason why I use that example.
Yeah. Today was like 3 o'clock and I was like, I'm going to go get a drink. And I'm like, there's nothing anybody can, and it was very fun. And I didn't end up doing it because there was too many cars. But I think I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, there could be a healthy side where you go, those are two elements. Like, you know, I want to be able to lie in, but also work hard. But you could have completely contradictory, like at the same time, you want to work hard and you don't. And so what happens is what's called compromise formation, which is so as your body can cope with these competing drives and desires in your body, they find a compromise. And so the compromise might be fatigue. So fatigue is where, you know, you can't work because you're really tired, but you also can't just sleep, right? Because, you know, you're awake, you can't actually physically sleep. So the fatigue is the eruption of a compromise between desire to work hard and desire not to work hard. Or you could maybe, you know, at night if you're sleeping, you crunch your teeth, you know? Really, you're always kind of like, what do you call that?
Grinding. Crunching is so violent.
Yeah, grinding
your teeth.
That made
my teeth hurt hearing you say that, but yeah. Grinding your teeth. Yeah.
But that could be just, you know, something you're doing. Like sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. But sometimes it's a penis.
Usually it's a penis.
Yeah, usually it's a penis. And
like cigars, for example.
Yeah.
They're penises.
They're obviously penises. It's an oral fixation.
They're not even trying to hide it. Yeah.
But you might be grinding your teeth because you're angry and you want to shout at somebody, but you've also got this desire to be, you know, meek and mild and be polite. And so the compromise formation is you're always grinding your teeth. So
dude. Continue. Yeah.
So this is just like a little example of how, you know, people say, oh, I believe this or I want this. But actually we are often, there are conflicts within us. And then how we avoid seeing that is through the beautiful soul. And Hegel talked about this, I think, a little, where the beautiful soul is actually this thing where you try to keep your own purity and innocence and harmony by putting all of the anger and all of the badness onto somebody else. So for like a kid, there's a monster under the bed or whatever. But the idea is
for an adult, there's a monster in the White House.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that very wow. Well done.
Look yeah, I'm
that.
Here, man. I'm that's here. I'm a, present. That's a, I'm here. That's I meditated before this. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you are ready to go.
So look out, man.
Yeah.
I got my crystals. My chakras are clear. I've been going real Californian since you've been gone, Pete. Look out. Yeah.
That's nice. Well, you know, you do see it. Like I've done it and we all do it where we show such disdain about something someone else said when we know that we have said similar things or we have friends who have said similar things or we've thought, you know, similar things. But because we don't want to admit that part of ourselves, we just throw it out onto somebody else. So that's kind of the beautiful soul. And it sounds so beautiful. You know, the beautiful soul, but actually for Hegel, you know, you have to actually get to the point of realizing that our souls are a little bit muddy.
Is this essentially like a version of projection? Is it kind of like a more poetic version of the projection defense mechanism where you're just taking whatever you have, or is it a way of, is it projection?
Yeah, that you could see, yeah, that's part of it, is you're projecting out your own internal conflict onto somebody else.
That compromise formation thing is the coolest thing I've ever I've ever heard.
Well, I was thinking about this because I was literally talking to my friend about this because she suffers from fatigue.
Yeah.
And we were talking and it was like, oh, you have this real desire to work hard and also this desire to reject that. And once we talked about that, it was like it suddenly made sense of the fatigue, that it wasn't actually a biological thing. It was this, it was the eruption of the compromise between these two desires.
Yeah, I it's funny that you say the word fatigue, because that was a word I used like an hour ago in a text message with somebody where I was just like, this is going on. And then I was like, I think I'm just fatigued. And that's a very, like, there's something about the word fatigued, I think, that is just different than tired. Like if somebody says fatigued, it means mental, like something is going on. Yeah. And I think that makes total sense, that like, clearly it's like, cause I'm not tired. And like, I was today at work, a buddy of mine was like, are you doing okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm actually am doing okay. I just couldn't bring myself to really do much of anything. And I was very sort of like, blah, 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 but I still kept doing it. It was just, it's a very interesting, I don't know if it was that, but it's interesting that on this, same day, the subject of fatigue became relevant.
Well, I think it's such a big thing. You see, fatigue is huge in the US. I've noticed that lots of people seem to suffer from it. And of course, there'll be a million different reasons why.
Yeah.
But one of them for some people might be this one, this drive to work incredibly hard, but also this protest against that actually we do want to, you know, there's a better way to live. But weirdly, because those desires are both at war, the result is this weird state between awake and asleep, between working and not working. But what fascinates me is just how we try to fool ourselves into thinking we are, you know, we know who we are, we know what we think, we know what our desires are, when we're infused with contradictory desires.
Yep. Dude, when I was like, because speaking about the logo stuff, when the logo conversation was happening.
Which, by the way, looks great. The logo
looks fantastic. My brother did it.
Yeah, brilliant work.
David Morgan. Brilliant work. Muku Studios, or just David Morgan. I don't know. David Morgan. I don't know his info, but I'd give him a plug if I could.
.com, maybe. Dave,
yeah, it might be. It's davidmorgan.com, maybe. I don't know.
He's an IT guy. If he didn't get that .com,
I know.
That's pretty rubbish.
It's davidmorgan.org. Yeah, exactly. That'll be the title of this podcast. It's just davidmorgan.org.
I had a friend who was briefly selling websites, and he got, it was TV. Was it?
TV.tv?
Oh, yeah, or was it? No, WS, and he tried to make it out that it was like website, but it was some crazy country that they found as like I think it was WS.
Yeah, man, that's very interesting. So before we dive into that, because I want to dive more into that.
Oh yeah,
can you tell me a little about Wake? Can you tell me a little about this film that you're creating and or helping to create? And can you tell me a little bit about how you've been for the past month?
Yes.
And tell our beautiful, wonderful listeners who have been, oh, by the way, everyone has been saying the kindest things to me about this podcast, whether it's on DMs or Twitter or whatever, and or both, and live shows and stuff. And thank you very much. And it means a lot. Every time somebody says, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
It's encouraging because it means that we're keeping going, because it's been tough. Like we went off and had other co-hosts for 2 weeks and all of that. But it's encouraging if people are listening and enjoying it, that we're going to actually commit doing this.
That's
and
what
try
it is.
Trying to miss as few as possible. We did miss last week.
It's like, it is positive affirmation that keeps us going with it.
It's definitely not the money.
Oh, it's not the money. Oh, dude, we've made some money.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you off. Off mic, but it's over $100.
No way. And we are three figures.
Uh huh.
Five figures if you count the zeros.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Five cents. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We're in five figures.
We're under $200. Whoa. So I'm not gonna tell you how much, but somewhere in there.
That's fantastic.
And under 150 as well, so I can keep going. But anyway, so okay, Thank you, everybody, for all the kind things that
we've made it. By the way, that means saying. The podcast has made it.
Oh, it's a profitable. It's definitely not profitable. Anyway, yeah. So how are you? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm great. I was in Belfast for a while, making the movie, which will probably be good to do a episode about that.
Yes,
at some point.
Yes, we're gonna do a whole episode.
Do you want to
pin it?
But David Dalsmalchian is the lead male, and Frederick Bell the lead female.
Yeah,
and David Dalsmalchian. People will know him from Ant-Man and Blade Runner and The Dark Knight, all of that. And then Frederick Bell is a big French actress.
Did you mention to him at all that I have like a actor crush on him?
No, I don't. I didn't actually.
It's fine. It's not a big deal. I just, you could have.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Did I know that?
Yeah, man. Dude, I've been a fan of his since The Dark Knight. I wanted him to be the Riddler.
Oh yeah, you did. You told me that.
I wanted Christopher Nolan to take that weird character and make him, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, no, he's great. And now he's like, but he's a very good bad guy. Like, I think he's a baddie in Gotham, and he's a baddie in MacGyver.
Nice.
So he's
yeah, because he plays the bad guy in MacGyver. Like, yeah,
yeah.
The bad guy.
Yeah, he's got a really cool look.
Murdoch.
Yeah. Right. That was a lot of fun doing that. And then, yeah, I was doing the Wake Festival, which is I run a couple of festivals now, and we're 5 days of cabaret, music, magic, and talks. Kind of like a festival of ideas and
do
art.
You feel like after you go, because I've never gone, and I see the pictures and it seems like great things, do you feel like after it's done that you've entered into a magical world and then exited? Like, do you feel sort of like you're dipping yourself in a pool of like cool stuff and then coming out feeling like, because it's a very neat thing, like, yeah. Most people would never go to a festival like that. It's very kind of like unique, special thing. It almost kind of reminds me of like a Ren Fair type of thing. Do you know what those are?
No.
Renaissance fairs.
Oh, I've heard of them. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, I've never been to one either, but my buddy Steve was talking about it and it seems very intriguing. But like, it's like you enter this sort of like environment that's very different and very submersive and
submersive.
You submerge yourself into it.
Well, you could submerge yourself or immerse yourself.
Very immersive. That's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, do you feel like it adds, when you look at your year, like when you look at your life as a whole, do you see these festivals as like patches of sort of like almost otherworldly or like, I don't know, like reprieves from the everyday?
Absolutely. There's a guy, a writer, Hackham Bay, and he wrote a book called Taz. And a TAZ, it stands for Temporary Autonomous Zone.
The poor live streamers can't see anything.
No, we've got darker and darker. Oh, yeah, I know. We got to get proper lights in this place.
Your view is getting darker and darker as the sun goes down, says Anna. Yes, it is. So sorry, Anna.
You know what? With that $100 and whatever, we could maybe get a lamp.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or we could, like, take a lamp out of my room.
Your room.
But I would do it right now if we weren't recording a podcast. But yeah. I'm so sorry, guys. Good to see you.
Yeah. So TAZ stands for Temporary Autonomous Zone. And the idea is a TAZ is this moment that where it's temporary, it's autonomous, it's outside of the rest of society, mm-hmm. and it's a zone, it's an area. And basically what it is, like a flash mob, something happens for a few minutes or a few days that gives you a taste of a different type of world, a different type of possible way of being. But it stops before it can be colonized, taken over. And festivals are types of TAZ moments.
Cool. These,
and people go like, oh, I wish it would last forever. A friend, Kester Bruin, wrote a book on this, but he goes like, you wouldn't want it to last
Kester
forever.
Kester Bruin, what book was it?
He wrote a book that dealt a little bit with these TAZ moments.
Oh.
And the idea that, you know, well, of course you talk about a festival, oh, it'd be great if it was all year round, but you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want the poor to lose. You wouldn't want the terrible food. But what happens in 5 days is you're immersed in a different way of being, like a pop-up community. And the idea is at the end, it enriches the rest of your life. You take some of that into the rest of your life. So for me, I'm trying to create TAZ moments. There are these like 5 day spaces where we just inhabit a different form of life.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of what you were talking about in Insurrection? I feel like one of the books,
I'm sure I do. Yeah,
you talk
definitely.
It seems to be that moments like that are like the transformative art, that kind of thing.
That's right.
Very important and very beneficial for people.
Yeah, I mean that's the key part of my work. That's why I try and create these transformative art events. Is that
transformative art?
Yeah, these moments in your life that just give you a sense of a different form of being in the world that can help us get you know, change our lives. So yeah, because if you don't have those spaces, then we can get very caught up in the world and caught up in our own kind of miseries.
Yeah, it also reminds me of like the need for vacation. I would view the closest I probably have for that is Vegas, which I have to go. The dial has run out.
Yep.
On my needing to go, and so that's its closest. And that has been colonized, but it's been colonized by the mafia, and it's been colonized by other versions of organized crime.
And so the other thing is the thing I think the difference between I think a holiday and a Taz is that, and it's a very slight difference, but it's an important one, is that holidays I think are actually counter-revolutionary in the sense that you say you got a job you don't like, you work really hard, but as long as you go on holiday once a year, you're able to cope with staying in that crap job. So actually the holiday isn't getting you to change your life, it's allowing you to make your life bearable through a gas release valve. Mm-hmm. Whereas a TAS event is an event that's designed so that when you go back into your life, you go, right, I'm going to make changes. I'm going to do something.
That's a very big difference. I like how you pitched it. Like, there's a subtle difference.
There's a subtle difference. Like, and they're
opposite.
They're completely different. Yeah. So like when we go to Vegas, you know, we don't come away from Vegas going, we're going to change our life.
It's
a little bit of a jump out of our lives.
But I like
nothing
my
wrong
life.
With that. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. But a Taz should be much more transformative to the rest of your life.
Dude, this is so funny. People watching, if you're a patron of Pete at patreon.com/PeterRollins, you can sometimes watch live streams of us doing this podcast. And normally we do this during the day in some way, but now it's just black. And so people are just listening to.
This is what everybody else
podcast,
would be doing.
Right. But it's funny. Well, in all three of them.
Yeah.
Counting you.
That's how successful my Patreon is. let's pretend it's 300. Yeah, all 300.
All 300. Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds. Scores of people. Cool, man. Well, that's very exciting. I love the beautiful soul thing. I love how it relates to the fatigue stuff.
Thing's maybe a better topic than the beautiful soul. We probably covered beautiful soul before, but we never did Taz.
Oh, okay, let's talk about Taz.
You brought it up.
Every time you say Taz, it reminds me of Tasmanian Devil, which is Looney Tune.
Yeah.
And it's a little devil from Tasmania.
And is it a real animal? Yeah,
Tasmanian devil is, yeah.
But it doesn't spin?
I don't think it spins like it does in the cartoon. Not with those little lines rolling around it and the stars and whatnot. Yeah, man,
what's a Taz for you? What has been what's your, like, you enter into some different world, different space, and it...
The closest I can think would be like a convention, like a VidCon or a Comic-Con.
I really want to go to one of those.
Yeah, and the Ren Faire idea seemed really cool to me, or sounds really cool, but yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. Maybe certain comedy shows or comedy, you know, conventions or experiences, but it's always like a convention. It's always related. Yeah. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of work-related vacations where you learn about your stuff, and then that motivates you to be better, but it's like all professionally oriented. It's not like on the transformative level.
You know what I think is one example in America of a Taz potentially, even though neither of us have been, and it's probably Burning Man.
Burning Man would 100%
is 100% a Taz. And the interesting thing about Burning Man is you're unified around a lack. Right. Instead of most communities unify around what they share, but Burning Man, you unify around a destruction of something, which is very powerful. That's the ultimate form of community, where you have solidarity, not in terms of like, oh, what we share, but solidarity in the sense of that we all have losses and difficulties and struggles, and that we unify in that way. And Burning Man is a beautiful example of that. And I have talked to so many people who have said that Burning Man has, you know, it helped transform the rest of their life.
I think 100% Burning Man would be like Wake on steroids with mushrooms and acid and all the drugs.
A lot of sex and a lot of drugs.
A lot of sex, drugs, and dirt and kind of grossness. Yeah. Like, it kind of grows, like, the idea of Burning Man kind of grosses me out just on, like, a, you know, I like to be a clean person.
Yeah.
But I have to go. Like, I will end up there, and I know I'm going to end up going with, like, Lee and Delman and, like, that whole crew, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like, that's a lot, man. That's like a, that is not a vacation. You're right. Yeah, that is not a trip that I go on thinking, oh, I'm going to relax. It's a trip where I'm going to be consistently stimulated and challenged, probably.
And the truth is, like, if one person's holiday can be another person's TAS, that's the other thing is a ritual for one person can help change their life, whereas exactly the same ritual for somebody else is their escape. Like the Irish pub, somebody goes to the Irish pub, they have a drink, they talk about their life, they feel better. Someone else goes, they get drunk, and they repress their suffering for a day, and then it comes back. So it's the same ritual, but it operates in a different way. So,
you know, I don't know if this is the similar thing, but the Irish pub mentality, there was a moment that I had with my buddy Steve where we stepped out of our workspace toward the end of the day, and I was venting to him about a situation that's going on, and I had a revelation about myself while talking to him and while partaking in things and relaxing and cocaine. We were doing cocaine, Pete.
Can you say that?
Lines of cocaine. Yeah. No, we were not doing cocaine. What if I just like sprung? No, I don't do cocaine. Folks, I don't do any cocaine. But we were talking, going back and forth, and I realized I was like just doing that thing that you do when you're just not thinking about the conversation that you're having. You're just being like, here's everything that's going on. And I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. I do this thing where I am increasing or excessively laid back, and then when I don't speak what I actually want, and then that allows me to build up resentment toward people, which allows me then to blame them, which allows me to guilt-free walk away from relationships left and right, which is like narcissism, like that's straight up, or whatever you want to call it, but it's not a non-narcissistic.
Well, what you've done is you're able to see the enjoyment you get out of your resentment. That's key. Like,
the key
is it's always, what do I get out of my suffering is an important question.
Yeah.
And you see there's something you get out of it.
Yeah. Cause I was in the middle of this conflict with somebody and they were like, well, I didn't know this. And I was like, oh, well, I was like, of course you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know it if I didn't tell you. And I didn't tell you because it allows me to get angry at you, which is a pattern that I've found in myself. But it was an environment where my buddy and I were chatting in a safe environment, partaking in a little marijuana, and we were, and at least I was able to, just by bouncing things off of him, come to my own conclusions about things, and it was totally accurate, and it was something I had never thought about before, and I think that that's probably more the Irish pub thing than the Taz thing, but it's still I think a microcosm of that kind of transformative thing that can happen.
Well, that's one of my interests in psychoanalysis. It's a ritual designed to help change your life. So what you were doing there, you came to an insight through talking to your friend. So it was a moment, like a Taz moment. Like there's certain rituals, like getting drunk and listening to pop music, that we do to escape our suffering, and that's fine, we do that. But there are certain rituals that help you go into it, not so that you get depressed, but so that you can overcome it. And that's kind of the Irish pub at its best.
When you said listening to pop music, that concerned me, because I was like, oh no, I do listen to a lot of pop music and pop rock, and I wonder if that's me escaping.
Nothing wrong with that, but there's nothing wrong with a bit of escapism, watching,
I just want to know if it is escapism, I want to be like, oh, this is me escaping.
Yeah.
Because now I'm learning retroactively that for sure, if I'm in my car, I'm not just going to sit in silence. I'm going to like blare some Taylor Swift song or something sometimes.
Because if you were in silent, my goodness, what would you hear? Terrifying things in that mind.
Dude, I drove home today from work in total silence. It was the weirdest thing. And it wasn't until like 20 minutes in where I was like, it's dead silent in here. Oh. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, maybe that is a good sign.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a thing where we were on this road trip in Phoenix, and like you can learn a lot about yourself if you're on a road trip with some people.
Yeah.
And I learned that, for one, for sure I can come off like an asshole when I'm just like speaking words. Like at one point we were packing up at the end of the trip, and Lee said something, and she was like, did you put the thing in the car? And I was walking out and I just go, yes, I did put it in the car. And then like I like heard myself, and I was like, in my mind I was like, yeah, of course, like I don't have to, I don't think about having to like put on a cheery voice. But I was like, of course, if you heard that, I would sound like an asshole. And then I was like, oh, I'm learning. I see now why people are like, oh, you're an asshole. But anyway, All fun. Yeah. What else is going on? How are you?
Well, I'm about to go to Seattle.
Are you excited about that?
I am, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the last two gigs of this tour until, I think, August. So it's the end of the first leg. First leg of the tour is done.
That's amazing. And then there's another leg.
There's another leg. So Rob goes to the UK and he does the UK. I'm not going to do the UK. It's too far.
Yeah, that's too
far. But then when he gets back, we're going to do another 15, 20 cities in America.
Dude, how do you feel? You've been touring with Rob Bell. You've been doing these like huge shows. You've been doing your tight talks. How are you? Are you feeling like on top of your game? Or are you feeling like you got it?
It's great. This is what I am envious about with comedians is you can any day of the week go out to do a live go to what open mic
sure.
do a set. Whereas what I do, you can get rusty. You don't speak for a month and then you're getting up there. What I've loved about this is that I'm speaking so regularly that I feel like I'm really on top of my game.
That's great.
And
man.
But yeah, you don't with you comedians, you're out there, 2-3 nights a week sometimes.
You're
practicing and doing the same material.
Hopefully more. I mean, I remember when I was first starting out, like, I go out every night of the week and I'm like, why? Have a family, have a life, but yeah, I will probably be going out every night of the week for the next 7 days or something.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah.
Because I gotta get on stage because I got this thing coming up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I gotta be, on it as much as possible. But that relates to the fatigue thing and the beautiful soul thing because I'm like, I know I need to just be doing it every waking second of every day, but I'm not. I'm just like holding off. And I think a part of me is doing the thing that I did in college, which is called procrastination. And it's like, I have this performance that I need to do and it's entirely on me to be able to make sure that I can do it and get every single beat. But I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. I'll be there.
I know you will.
I'll be one of the people not being paid.
You will. Yeah, exactly. You're going to be one of the non-paid people. Yeah. I'm going to get my friends to show probably the second, you do two run-throughs or whatever. But dude, this is what we're doing has never been done before this way. Like it's never been this high quality of what we're doing, which is it's all going to, because the whole special is about not faking things. And so of course it relates to my past, but then it also like, we're trying to translate that into everything, which is why like not censoring the title or anything, but also it's all going to be in one shot using this guy who's like an incredible, and I've seen the light tests and I've seen the way they're kind of staging everything, and it's all planned out and it's all very like, it's going to go here and then you're going to go here, and around the 20 minute mark and the 40 minute mark, this is going to happen. So be aware of this. And this is where the audience is going to be. You're going to have a person. It's like crazy. And I didn't know, I went to the tech rehearsal on Monday and I was like, oh, I'm sure they don't really know what, and everything was like, we've got this, 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 and this. And I was like, I was like freaking out. I was like, I got people who are working on this.
fantastic.
It's amazing. It's such a huge blessing and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. It's just incredibly.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed, dog. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed forever. Blessed for life.
Yeah.
What do you think about this Kanye West thing? Have you seen any of this?
No, I haven't, because I came off of all kind of social, I don't follow any social stuff. So I did hear what happened, but literally all I know is he likes Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Supposedly.
Oh, yeah.
If we're to believe him.
Okay, yeah. But literally, since I came off social media, I still use it for work, but since I kind of came off it as a news source, I've kind of stopped hearing about things.
How's that experience been? Are you
it's
much
been really happier? Nice.
Yeah.
Because I've always been, because I'm into philosophy, and in philosophy, if you want to know the truth, like read someone to die 2,000 years ago, read Plato or something. You won't find much in the contemporary stuff. So I've always felt like that, but then it crept in because I started using social media and it crept in. And then there are some news sources I really do trust, but they started to become clickbaity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just got to a point where I was hearing, stuff that didn't interest me. And then I just cut it out and it's been great.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, I still listen to the BBC. Yeah, still listen to the BBC and a couple of other news sources, but that's about
bad.
It.
That's not bad. You've got to get informed.
But you've got to listen because you're in the social media world, so you've got to know.
I don't give a shit.
Is that right?
No, I don't. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care.
There was a lot of beautiful soul stuff happening on social media. I did see a lot of that.
That's what I think, yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely a where you really, really see it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like if the I'm perfect, they're horrible. And I am so, look at how pure I am by noticing how horrible they are is not good.
I think we've talked about this before, but in philosophy, the difference between abstract and concrete, did we talk about this?
Maybe let's do
this
a refresher.
Mention it again.
Please.
So in the contemporary world, we think of abstract as kind of like philosophy, that's abstract, and concrete is what you can see, touch and feel. So the concrete is I'm drinking some gin at the moment. And the abstract is talking about, you know, where it came from, and, you know, all the economic factors that got here. But in philosophy, for Hegel, it's the other way around. The abstract is you're drinking this gin. Now, that's abstract because it's abstracted from all the conditions that got it here. The people who worked for it, the economic conditions that made gin something that people drank, all of that stuff. And concrete is understanding the context. To think concretely is to understand how it's linked with all these other things. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, what were we talking about? I completely forgot.
I don't know how to joke lined up, so I wasn't thinking. I was only half paying attention. I was waiting for you to definitely stop talking.
Oh, yeah. Because I completely forgot even what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. It's been a long day, man.
Oh, beautiful soul.
Beautiful soul.
Oh, yeah. Is that we often think of ourselves as separate from the society we're in, so we can separate from these other people. But that's abstract thinking. You're abstracting yourself from the fact that we're all involved in the society, that actually we can't have this beautiful soul. We're all kind of in this together, even if we're not guilty of certain things. We're just all in this together, and it's messier than we would like it to be. And often we avoid confronting that by removing ourselves from society in our minds, that I am pure and good and the people out there are horrible and evil.
I want to talk. I've discovered this guy. I don't think you've ever heard of him, but his name's Todd McGowan, and he wrote a book called Capitalism and Desire.
Invited him as the main speaker of Wake.
No way, man!
I know. I don't know if he'll say yes or not, but I have invited him,
dude. When is the next year's Wake?
Yeah, next year's Wake. Oh, I would love you to come because I would love to do a fundamentalist.
It's done.
Podcast.
Oh, it's
Wake.
Done. Yeah. It's done. We'll I will buy happen. The tickets. Tell me when, and I'm buying the tickets, and it's a done deal. That would be incredible. Are you kidding me? Holy crap!
If he
dude.
Says yes, yeah, which is kind of, but
yeah, if he says yes,
if he says yes.
But even, I mean, I don't give a crap. I'm going. Yeah, dude, amazing. I love everything that you just said. I think in my life as of recent, the act of acknowledging the concrete nature of certain things rather than the abstract. Yeah. By the way, by abstract, you mean like you abstract, like, do you mean like extract? Like, it's like the same thing, right? Is this like a submerged, immersive sort of thing?
Connected, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, like, well, Judge Dredd's the ultimate abstractor because he just judges you not in relation to whether you did the crime. He doesn't take into consideration where you grew up, environment, whether it was your first crime. So he abstracts you from your social environment in order to judge you. So he's the ultimate abstract actor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's because the thing that made me think about it was the iPhone thing and how, you know, we all have these iPhones, but they're made with cobalt mines that have slaves and, you know, all that stuff. Nobody cares.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing is whenever you actually do know the links, but we somehow don't emotionally engage with it.
Not even in the slightest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me feel very heartless at times because I don't care about many things as I should care about, according to the internet. Anyway, cool. So the beautiful soul thing. Well, what else do you want to, is there anything else? I mean, we're just catching up. I know this is kind of like we're here and there and everywhere on this one, which is exactly, I think, what we intended for it to be.
Well, we should mention our sponsor.
Oh.
Because that's the fact that, like, we've got like, maybe $75 each of the sponsor in the last 6 weeks.
Let's
so
not
I think
get
we
crazy,
should.
But yeah, let's. Yeah. Our sponsor is wink.com/thefundamentalists, and it's a wine company. And I do truly highly recommend it. And actually,
we need to do it again.
We have to do it again because the lovely people at Wink have been trying to contact me for like 2 weeks. and they've been like, let's work something out, let's figure something out. But I each time have just not picked up the phone because I've been doing something
else. They actually have phoned you? That's how important
you
are?
Dude, I've been like, I told them to phone me. I've been like,
oh, you've told them to phone
me? Yeah, I've been like, this time, this day, and I write it down. I set reminders on my phone. And it's not happening. It's like, I don't know if they're, it's like a, I'm just incredibly distracted right now. And I've had to apologize multiple times because I've just been like, I've been a jerk. I'm so sorry. Like, let's talk. But I haven't done it. But anyway, I will hopefully do that tomorrow or next week. But yeah.
So how do people sign up?
They sign up, they go to wink.com/thefundamentalists and they get, I think, $20 or $25 off their first order. But they send you wine based off of whatever types of wine that you like. They there's a little fun test that you can do a palate, you know, quiz for. And then and they have bottles that look really cool and hipster and nice. Yeah. And that's my favorite part. Because having bottles of wine around that look cool is cool.
It's containers. It's having cool containers.
Oh, back to your goddamn containers, dude.
Yeah, you got to have nice containers.
You really do.
It makes life better.
It really does.
Like, yeah, it's, that's
most of, I think most upper class symbols for me in some way are containers of some kind.
In what way? What do you mean?
Like if I walk in somewhere and there's a dish with Reese's Pieces in it, mm-hmm. I'm going to think that's fancier than a packet of Reese's Pieces. It's just fancier.
Yeah.
Not upper class.
If it's in a glass container. Bowl, like, yeah, it has to be like if it's glass or something.
Of course,
like
yes, glass.
Yeah, it's a lot more fancy. Like I get soccer bit and then I put my soccer bit out of the paper bag.
Soccer bit?
Soccer bit. It's amazing. It's what? In LA. It's a sweet shop. It's all European sweets candy.
Soccer bit?
It's called a soccer bit.
No, I have no idea what that is.
What? I mean, it's a wee bit overpriced, but it's very good quality.
Of course.
And so, but you get it out of the paper bag, you put it into a glass thing, and you feel like very fancy.
Well, yeah, it's
sticking
the best.
Your hand in there. Like, you feel like, I feel bourgeois.
Dude, I was in, I was in Phoenix. We were doing, and I started buying candles because I ran out of candles. So when I saw candles on sale, I just started buying it. But candles are just containers for wax.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's the title of it. Dude, candles are just containers for wax. All right, man. Our live stream is pitch black now. So that's perfect. Is there anything else you want to talk about, or you want to?
Well, how are we doing time?
We're doing like 41, but I mean, I feel like we've covered most things. It's a little shorter. Is there any like particular subjects or tidbits you want to leave people with?
We always like to do a takeaway.
Yeah.
Do you have any takeaways on either Beautiful Soul or Taz?
I have a takeaway
or abstraction
on both, and it's obviously I'm in a whirlwind right now. So I think that the biggest one would be the explanation of my fatigue as a result of the conflict within me happening. And it's very clear, dude. I was thinking about this like 2 hours ago when I got home. I was like, I'm so tired. And I remember you were going through a phase for a little bit where you were sleeping constantly.
Yeah.
And definitely. You knew immediately. You were like, oh, something's going on. I'm like, not quite. And I was like, oh, that's what's happening right now. Like I'm having some kind of a fatigue as a result of all these different things that are happening. And you obviously are more astute with that stuff. But it took me a second to be like, oh, okay, this is what this is. I'm just like I can feel myself shutting down. And I know that's what it is.
Yeah.
So that helps. That's my takeaway. That I know now that it's internal conflict and not just like my body is breaking.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. That's my takeaway as well, in the sense that we are in conflict with ourselves, not in any huge way, but we're infested with desires because we desire the desire of the ones we desire, and so whether that's our mother, father, friends, their desire kind of gets within us because we desire the people who desire, you know, we desire the desire of others. We want them to desire us. But if they don't like us, then you weirdly, in you know, you bring their desire into your body and you start not liking yourself because you're taking their desire into yourself.
Whoa.
So we're full of desires, and some of those desires are turned against us. Some of them are in conflict with us, and our bodies find compromises to that, and it'll come out like a nervous tick, your eye twitching, or
are you kidding me, dude? My eye has been twitching for the past like 4 days.
Has
since
it?
Tuesday. It's been twitching here, and I can tell when it's happening.
No,
and
yeah,
I
know, you can feel
and
it.
I can feel, well, yeah, obviously I can tell it's happening, and I can feel it. And then I, there's been a little twitch in my mouth that's happening, and it's it's funny that you, because I know you don't believe in like any kind of like mystical weird stuff, but it is interesting that both of those things are physically things that I'm going through.
I was also going to talk about chronic masturbation.
I was going to say, yeah. And
I forgot a home run here.
ED or whatever, yeah. Just get that hat trick in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that matters. Yeah, well, I didn't know that.
You've got diarrhea, chronic diarrhea. Is that what it is?
So you have a little twitch. Yeah, twitches are interesting. I mean, it can be just like a trap nerve, or it could be...
It's not a trap nerve. I know exactly what it is. When it happens, I'm like, yep, this makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes a tick can be a desire to express anger and a desire to contain it at the same time. So sometimes it can be like you want to, and I don't think this is necessarily what you're dealing with, but sometimes you want to.
We've been on a roll so far, Pete, so.
Okay, yeah. But you want to kind of express something, but also because you're civilized and you go like, you don't want to throw everything out there. You've got a desire to keep it in, and the compromise is your face kind
your
of like
face starts to explode.
Starts to explode, yeah. Or people who cough all the time. Have you seen that? Sometimes it might be because they want to say something and also don't want to say it. And so what it looks like is they're constantly clearing their throat to say something. No, sometimes it's just they've got a cold.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sometimes a cigar is just a penis.
Just a cigar, yeah. But what's interesting is all of this is just to say that the compromise formation shows that we are not singular things.
Yeah.
We don't just have singular desires or singular beliefs.
I love the term committee. I love when you say that.
Yeah, it's a committee. Our subjectivity is a bit of a committee.
That's
made
so
up of lots of things. And because of that, your body has to figure out a way of dealing with that. I mean, that's what the ego is ultimately. One theory is the ego is just trying to find a way to get superego and id to talk. So the id is your base desires, your superego is, what you should do, and your ego is like trying to work it out. But of course we're going to have like examples in our bodies of compromise formations, because otherwise we'd just be a mess.
There's a tweet from the Tweet of God. You don't follow. You only follow Joel Osteen.
Yep.
But it said if the person people think you are, the person you think you are, and who you actually are, ever met, none of them would recognize each other.
Oh, say that again.
If the person people think you are, and the person you think you are, and the person you actually are, ever actually met, none of them would recognize each other.
Very good.
Yeah, it's really fun.
The funny thing is, by the way, I got, it's hate to say this, but now, I only follow one person, Joel Osteen.
Yes.
And I got the idea from Tweet of God, because he only follows Justin Bieber.
That's so funny.
That's very good. It's a clever little thing.
I feel like psychoanalysts would be very good psychics. Because they could sit there and be like, well, it sounds like you're doing this, and I see, I'm twitching. Like, well, when you're twitching, is there anything? Do you feel a conflict? Do you feel a desire to express anger? And like, of course, people would just be like, I do. And it's like very,
And a lot of people are just good at that. They don't even know that, people are always telling you the truth. They're always telling you the truth. And Freud says, even if they lie with their mouth, they'll tell the truth with their tapping finger. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, if you're just sensitive to it, you'll realize that you're walking down the street, people are constantly telling you something by the dog they're walking, by the jacket they're wearing, by the umbrella they have, by the way their hair is styled, everything is telling you, no one tells the whole truth, but elements of the truth are always seeping out. And some people are very good at picking that stuff up. So they even actually maybe think they are psychic. Maybe they are, I'm not saying they're not, but sometimes somebody might just be incredibly good at picking up all the signals that someone's communicating, from how they fold their arms or their legs, to how they posture themselves when they sit down, to what the first word out of their mouth is, to whether they speak quickly or slowly or struggle to speak at all. Everything is telling you the truth. The only thing that's not telling you the truth is what they say.
Thank you, Pete, for being here. Thank you for being back. I'm really excited, man.
Good to be back.
And I apologize. I know during this particular podcast, one of the reasons I'm actively cutting it short is because I'm tired to a degree that I'm like having thoughts that I want to say, and then I'm losing them. So I'm I know that these podcasts, we'll get back into the groove of things, but I apologize.
No, but for man, not you seem it. Tired, but it's tired in a good way. Like you've got so much good stuff
life
going
is,
on.
It's beautiful, but, man. Yeah. It's the life is the most beautiful, wonderful thing in the world.
Well, I think we should have another drink. Stop this and have another drink.
I agree. And let's see what everybody in the chat is saying here. I've 150 friends here. So those immersive experiences are like hero's journey, going behind the threshold and coming back. Oh, I love that. Maybe light up some candles. Great idea, ooh. Anna, except we didn't want to interrupt the podcast to do that. You really don't have any lamps in your living room?
No, that's the thing. You Americans are weird. We Europeans like actually have lights in the ceiling, but often in America, you come in and there'll be a light like off to the side, and then weirdly, the light switch actually goes to your plugs.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
Yeah.
Our light switches go to lights.
It's
our
very
light switches
complex
don't go to,
thing too.
Oh, is it? It's not your American houses. I've been in houses that have done it as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. People like lamps more than ceiling lights.
Is that right?
I do.
I mean, I think it's probably a cooler thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in the old days, you literally had to plug your washing machine into the lights socket and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. At first, they didn't have plugs, but so you Americans are maybe just more advanced. But I freaked out first time I came to America. I couldn't figure it out why the light switch was controlling the sockets. So like why someone would walk in and my TV would turn off because somebody hit the light switch.
I feel like this isn't as poignant of an ending as we had like 2 minutes ago. I feel like we had a great out.
Yeah.
And then you were like, what's up with the lights in the ceiling? You got no. All right, everybody. All right. We'll see you next week.